Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the book of Psalms. We're in the 16th Psalm right now. And this Psalm has a title to it. It's a Mikdam of David. And as always, we're not quite sure what that word means. It's described as a technical term, okay, a technical term in the Psalms. Yeah. And so it may mean a poem, it may mean a melody, it may mean, we simply don't know. But we know it is of David. In the first verse, he starts off and says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." And so it begins like many of the Psalms that we've seen so far have. And at first, you think it's going to go along that line, but you find out this one's a little different because basically he is expressing the contentment that he has in the Lord. The joy he has in the Lord. He doesn't mention any enemies or anything like that, I don't think. So just pay attention to that as we go. So he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." And so he's saying, you're my God. There's no other good outside of you. Everything is in and through you. Verse 3. "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight." So he's talking about the ones who are holy, the ones who are set apart. That's literally what that word means, kadosh in Hebrew, the set apart ones. He said, for the ones, the saints that are in the land, they are the excellent ones. They are the godly ones. And he says, my delight is in them. But then he sets up a juxtaposition between those saints, those righteous ones. Verse 4, "The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips." So he's saying, I'm not even going to mention the name of those that hurry after another god. Those that pursue and chase another god, that hasten, as King James says, after another god, because their sorrows are going to be multiplied. Their sorrows are going to be increased. I'm not going to mess around with what they do with pouring out blood offerings and drink offerings. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to take their names on my lips. He says, I'm not even going to mention them. I'm not going to mention the ones that do that. But he is letting everybody know in this psalm right here, that those who pursue another god, that their sorrows will be multiplied. Verse 5, he says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." You support us, my lot. Maintain us, my lot, as King James says. It is the Lord who supports and maintains all that is of us. Verse 6, he says, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have beautiful inheritance." And we encountered this quite a while back when we were reading through about the life of David. There was a verse or two that spoke of the lines like that. And what he's talking about is the boundaries of his territory. Okay, that word can mean a cord or a rope or a band or a territory, a company. It's a measurement type of thing. And he says, "The boundaries of my territory have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance, a delightful inheritance, a goodly heritage." And that's what he's speaking about, is that which God has granted to him. He says, it is pleasing, it is pleasant, it is amazing. And he's thankful to the Lord for it. Verse 7, he says, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me." So he's saying, I want to bless the Lord because the Lord has given me counsel. New American Standard says, "Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night." The Lexham says, "Yes, at night, my innermost being instructs me." ESV calls that innermost being the heart. See what the King James says. "My reins also instruct me in the night season." Reins, like you have reins on horses, okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. That word that's translated reins in the King James is actually the word used for kidneys. he has kidneys. And we see that a lot because the Hebrew mindset then, what we call that my heart instructs me, they would have said what my kidney instructs me. The idea being that in my innermost being, there's instruction that comes forth from the Most High God. And notice how the Lord gives him counsel, and it's in the midst of the night that his mind, his innermost being, instructs him. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always and before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Notice the determination that he makes here. Okay, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. He's declared, this is what the Lord is always going to be before me, because he is at my right hand. He said, I know God is right here with me. He's at my right hand. I'm going to set him before me. How often have we known and we know that the Lord is at our right hand, and yet we pursue our own way? Y'all hang on a second, guys. Okay, I'm back. Had an elderly gentleman come up to the office door and couldn't get in there, so had to let him in. But how often do we do that? That we know the Lord is with us. He is at my right hand, and yet we go before him rather than setting the Lord before us. Yeah, it's a very important distinction there. And he says, because of this, I shall not be shaken. Not because of any great ability that I'm able to do, but because the Lord has gone before us, because the Lord is at my right hand, the seat of power, the right hand. So this, David brings some conclusion right here in these last three verses. Verse 9, he says, therefore, my heart is glad. Because of all this, in light of all this right here, my heart is glad. Because he's determined some things. I'm going to set the Lord up front. He's always with me, okay? And my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells securely. So he's letting us know that this is beyond just a spirit kind of thing, that my heart is glad. Okay, that's great. My whole being rejoices. That's great. My whole being. My flesh dwells securely. Yeah, it has a physiological thing. He said, my flesh also shall rest in hope, King James says. I like that. But that we will dwell securely. Why? Verse 10. For you, David speaking to the Lord, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. And you might go, wait a minute, I've heard something like that before. Yeah, you have. Yeah, this is quoted also of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. And David's saying, the Lord's not going to abandon me. He's not going to abandon my soul to Sheol, which King James calls hell. He says, neither will I suffer. You're not going to allow your Holy One to undergo corruption. Okay? To undergo corruption. And the lexem says to see the grave. And I think the idea behind that is to that will be the end of life. New American Standard says to undergo decay. Right? Then the last verse, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. Yeah, a very quoted passage right there. The Lord makes known to us the path of life if we seek him, guys. It is in him, in his presence, that a true fullness of joy exists, not in anything else. And it's at the right hand of the Most High that there are pleasures forevermore. Anything else is fraudulent. Anything else is just us deceiving ourselves. So before you recline upon your nightbed this evening, go back through the 16th Psalm, read it, claim it, see what the Lord does. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see y'all next episode. Goodbye.